Love one another. Right, that's it. I can pretty much sit down after that, can't I? Love one another. Yeah. We're continuing our series in the Gospel of John. And last week, Lee walked us through the beginning of chapter 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And it's good to be reminded that the way John writes his gospel is a little bit different to the other gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell the story. They focus on the story. In the Gospel of John, he tells the story, but he also focuses in on some really deep and important issues. John begins his gospel with these deep statements about Jesus. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It also says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And as we were reminded last week, the end of John's book says that he wrote it that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The theme of believing is all the way through the Gospel of John. It's all the way through this book. Just in the previous chapter, in chapter 12, we read, "Though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him." And also it says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue." So all through the Gospel of John, we meet these people, people who believed and people who didn't believe. So we pick up the story at Jesus meeting with his inner circle, the 12. Now, these should be ones who believe, shouldn't they? But one of these inner circle, one of the 12, is someone who will betray Jesus. Let me pray as we begin to look into this text. Heavenly Father, may your name be given honor as we read and learn from your word today. May your kingdom grow here in our hearts, in our church, and in our neighborhood. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we read the start of chapter 13 last week, it began with this build-up. Jesus' hour had come. He was going to depart from this world and go to the Father. He loved his own and loved them to the end. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, and he got up and washed his disciples' feet. He gave his disciples an example of what it really means to be great in the eyes of God, to be the servant of all. And if that's how the master behaves, then that's how the servants should behave as well. And that section ended with this great sending and receiving declaration to the disciples. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." And that is where we pick up the text that we read this morning. Verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Troubled. This really upset Jesus. Why is Jesus upset? It's not just because he knows the end is coming. There's something specific about this betrayal of Judas. But if Jesus knew that that was coming, why is he upset? Judas is one of the inner circle, one of the 12. Judas is about to make the biggest mistake of his life. Here is this guy who walked with Jesus, who learnt from Jesus, who listened to what Jesus said and taught, who saw Jesus doing miracles, and yet the message never really sank in. He was more interested in the money he could make from the situation than being faithful to his master. I wonder what we can learn about this. What can we learn from this? Are there times where we're more interested in something else than being faithful to our master? Are we more interested in the money we can make, the fame, the prestige? Are we more interested in the relationships or popularity or control? Is there something you are more interested in than being faithful to your master? Do you think Jesus loved Judas? Why was Jesus so upset? It's not just the betrayal, that personal feeling of someone letting you down, and a close friend at that. Jesus had foreknowledge that this was going to happen. But at this moment, at this particular time, now was the point of no return for Judas. Jesus was upset because he was losing someone. And Judas, this close disciple and friend, was headed out into the darkness that would consume him. From verse 22, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. The disciples must also be shocked. They don't know who it is. Peter motions to one of the disciples to ask Jesus. But I suspect, even though he does ask and Jesus does tell him, this disciple is in tune with Jesus enough to know not to tell any of the other disciples, at least not yet. We know that later, Peter was willing to pull out a sword to protect Jesus. But in this instance, when Judas got up to leave, Jesus didn't make a fuss. Why? He could have just stopped Judas. He could have given Judas a good talking to. Or he could have told his disciples to get up and stop Judas from betraying him. He could have been like the mafia boss when he's got all his mates, all his little plebs together. You know, he could have been like that and said, "Boys, listen, one of you is a dirty rat." He could have done that. They would have gotten up with baseball bats and clubbed Judas. But no, Jesus just lets him go. He even says, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now Judas knows that Jesus knows. But verse 28 tells us that now no one at the table knew why he said this. Why didn't Jesus stop Judas? And here we have one of the most powerful and yet heart-wrenching truths about Scripture and about the way that Jesus works. Not only did Jesus know the future that he was headed towards, what was going to happen to him, not only did he know that painful death that was coming, but he took actions to make sure it would happen. This is why he spoke in parables, so that people would not believe, otherwise they would have believed him and never crucified him. This is why in John chapter 6, Jesus would not let the people come and make him king. This is why he told off Peter when Peter can't accept that Jesus is predicting his death. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus was making sure of his crucifixion. And he could have stopped it like that. Later, when Jesus is arrested, he says to Peter in Matthew 26, we read, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" He's saying, "Peter, I don't need your sword. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to make sure it happens." Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us so much. That is how much Jesus loves us. How much does he love us? Then Jesus says this strange statement. In verse 31 and 32, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." What is he saying? Part of what he's saying is that the time is now. Now the Son of Man is glorified and God will glorify him at once. But the other aspect is what Jesus is saying has come. His glorification. But he's about to go to the cross. How is that glorification? In the previous chapter, we read, "And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.'" What a bizarre way to refer to your death. "Behold, the glory of God. A man bleeding and dying with nails in his hands and his feet pinned to a cross." What kind of glory is this? Well, I'll tell you. It's the glory of God who says, "This is how much I love you. I love you so much that I die for you." It is his glory because it's his greatest display of love that the earth has ever seen. The Almighty God, the King of the universe, dying on a cross to rescue us from sin and death. This is how we know what love is. As Jesus tells his remaining 11 disciples the news that he's going away, as the sadness of this reality sinks in for these his closest friends, this is his last opportunity to teach them. Jesus gives his disciples the most important teaching of all, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love one another. Earlier, Jesus had said that the greatest commandment was to love God, and the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. We read that in Matthew chapter 22. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Jesus was quoting from Leviticus 19 when he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And Paul picks up this in Galatians chapter 5. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. The law of love is all the way through Scripture. But now as Jesus gives this new commandment, they are to love one another as Jesus loves. Jesus gives a true picture of love. We are to love as Jesus loved. How has Jesus loved his disciples? He served them. He protected them. He taught them. He encouraged them. We'll learn in a few chapters that he prays for them. He was faithful to them. At this point in the story, we know he's about to give his life for them. Later in John chapter 15, we read, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And even though this is Jesus speaking to his inner circle, the 11 now, these who are to become his apostles, we know that this is a message for us too, because John, the author of the letters of John, picks this up. We read in 1 John chapter 3, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." He says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us." And then in 1 John 4, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." How are you doing with that? How are we going with that as a church? Are we a community that displays God's love to each other? It's been a privilege to be part of a small group that meets midweek to share life together and encourage each other. In particular, what I found encouraging is the way that my brothers and sisters in Christ pray for me. The way that this group prays for each other. Do you know how encouraging it is to have someone pray a heartfelt prayer, bringing your needs to our Lord who loves us? Recently, my family has come through a time of financial difficulty, and it's been such a blessing to see my church family reaching out in love, bringing round a bag of groceries, giving us clothes or a gift card for Christmas. This is the type of generous, self-sacrificial love that Jesus is talking about. And this is the kind of love that the early church used as its pattern, its way of operating. We read in Acts chapter 2, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Notice how God's love flows out from the church to those around us, having favor with the people. And this is evangelistic. This demonstration of love draws people to God's gospel of love. "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." This is what we read in John 13. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We will read later in John 17 that Jesus prays for us all that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. Our unity in love for each other can help others to come to believe. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love that is poured out into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Sorry for the times that we do not live out your command to love one another. Sorry for the times we put something else first rather than serving you, our Master. And sorry for the times we lift ourselves up instead of serving others. Shape and mold us into your people. May we become a people of love. Bring to our mind the ways we can display love to one another and flow out through this love to reach all those in our world around us. May this love draw others to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.